So, folks, we have a special guest joining us today, and she is Caroline Gurner. She's one of the very first LinkedIn instructors and also professors from Kelly School of Business. And just to give you a brief introduction about Caroline Gurner, she has been teaching power, personal influence, and negotiation for nearly 3 decades. Helping business students handle workplace challenges and encouraging empathic negotiation. She also oversees various academic programs, including graduate certificates, MS and MBA degrees, both in person and online. As a LinkedIn learning instructor, she has authored multiple courses on topics like overcoming imposter syndrome, gender and negotiation, and also women in leadership. In her role as faculty chair of executive education programs at the Kelly School of Business, she designs programs to boost professionals' skills and leadership capabilities. So we are going to learn the art of negotiation while talking about which one is better between MS versus MBA. And before we delve into our conversation on the topic at hand, here's an exciting twist. First, let us tickle Caroline's brain first. So, Caroline, get ready for an exciting rapid-fire round of random words. I'll mention a few, and I would love to hear the first thing that comes to your mind in response without thinking much. Shall we do it?
Absolutely. Bring it on.
Here comes my first word: curiosity.
Opportunity.
Invention.
Creativity.
Future.
Bright.
Book.
Kindle.
Movie.
Wish I could see one.
I think you should see one very soon.
I do too. It's been way too long since I've just watched a movie.
And next one is creativity.
Taught.
Universe.
Together.
Success.
Happens.
Leadership.
Taught.
Last one is role model.
Which is role model? Have one and be one.
Wow, superb. I loved your energy and smile. Thank you so much for participating in the first rapid fire round. And there is one more waiting towards the fag end of the episode. So stay tuned.
I love it. It's a great warm up. This is terrific.
Yeah. So folks, welcome to the Guiding Voice podcast series, where we embark on transformative conversations for a better future. I'm your host, Navin Samala, dedicated to making the world a better place through valuable discussions that add value not only to your life, but also to your career. And thank you so much for tuning in. Caroline, super excited to be with you on this Zoom call today. Hearty welcome to The Guiding Voice. How are you doing today?
I'm having a terrific day. It is utterly beautiful here in Indiana, and I am just enjoying the cold weather and the sunshine. It's fall and it's gorgeous.
Wow. And in fact, the weather in India is also surprisingly good at this moment. And in case if you happen to visit, I think November is the right time. All right.
I like it. Good to know.
All right. So thank you once again for being part of my journey in shaping the careers and lives of millions across the globe. And I am truly honored to have you as a guest, because I was talking to Molly before you joined. I'm also an instructor, in-house instructor at my current organization, and podcasting is my side gig. In fact, I have also curated a lot of courses in-house, of course, and I launched only one course
on
Udemy. I love developing people, and that keeps my passion alive. And
I love that.
On that note, let's get the ball rolling. And here comes my first question. So let's begin with your success mantra. So Caroline, please share the top three things that I've attributed to your success so far.
The top three things
that have
contributed to my success so far.
Yes.
First and foremost, developing relationships. It's absolutely about making sure that people know you care about them as individuals before you care about them as whatever their position is. Second is being open to learning all the time. That the notion isn't that I can't do that, but I can learn how to do that. And that level of positivity is just really been important in my career. And the third is, remember that it's supposed to be fun. That we're supposed to be doing things that bring us joy. And to find that and look for it in my work has been, I think, the real secret of what keeps me getting up in the morning.
Wow. Loved it. Let's get into the first part of our conversation, which is the choosing the right degree. So here comes my question around, how do you decide if a business graduate degree is right for someone?
Well, it really depends on their career goals. If someone is saying that what they want to do is contribute to an organization in a particular way. So let's say that I decide marketing is my passion and I want to be a marketing contributor within my organization or multiple organizations, then I am going to encourage people at that point to say, go deep, if you will. Try to get as much knowledge in that area as you can. So if you are one of those people lucky enough to have found the part of a business that you want to be in, then by all means, that MS degree in whatever area can make a lot of sense for you. On the other hand, if I'm not someone who's really sure, or what I aspire to is being higher up. So I want to be in the C-suite. I want to start thinking strategically about what the organization does. Then the MBA makes a lot more sense because the focus there is on figuring out how all of the areas work together. I am biased in that I really believe that no matter where people are, a business degree is a good idea. Yeah. Every organization, a nonprofit, education, even government, can benefit from being thought of and run like a business. So that is completely my bias. But honestly, I do believe that a business graduate degree can go well beyond just people who want to stay in a traditional business role.
Absolutely. I think they should do it some point or the other in their life, right? Irrespective of whether they are pursuing technical, non-technical, managerial route, whatever it is. Because I'll tell you my own experience. I've done my executive MBA from Symbiosis, and it was sponsored by General Electric, the company which I admire the most, where I worked 11 years, which shaped me as a leader, as a better individual, right? So I got a lot of value out of it. And I did this some time about 14 years ago. And immediately after that, I did my MS in software systems also. But I cherish both those degrees because I got the maximum value out of it because both were kind of work integrated programs. And that segue into the next question, which is around online versus offline degree. Because post-COVID, many universities have opened up for online degrees. So what's your take? What should someone look for in an online business graduate degree?
Love that question. Here at IU, we've actually been doing the online MBA since 1999. So for us, COVID was not a non-event by any stretch, but it really didn't disrupt our online MBA programs because that's what we've been doing for so long. It's kind of in our DNA. So one of the things that I think you should look for in an online program is someone who says, we really want to be expert in the online space. We're not just here because it's convenient, or we're not just here because it's popular, but that we have a track record and have committed to being good at this kind of education.
Yeah.
And so that's the first thing I would look at is what prompted the school to get into that, how long they've been online, and whether or not they view online learning as different than classroom learning, because it is. It really is. The online learning does require a lot more of the individual student. So you absolutely have to be more disciplined about your time. You need to reach out more aggressively if you want to work with other students or you know, study together, those kinds of things. It takes more initial push from the individual. On the other hand, it's significantly more flexible, and it does provide you with the opportunity to change the pace of the degree. So rather than saying, I am moving to someplace, I am there for a year, 2 years, and I've got to be done in that period of time, the flexibility of the online programs that it allows you to kind of navigate. So if you have a child and want to take a semester off, you say, that's terrific. And so it's that kind of flexibility about how you work it into your life. But it does require working it into your life.
Yeah. That is clear. That is clear. And let's move forward and talk about this aspect. Again, if somebody decides, okay, let me go for the post-graduation, like, then there are multiple options, graduate certificate versus MS versus MBA. So what degrees are right for the students? Of course, we spoke about MBA so far, but now we have to compare between certificate program versus MS versus MBA.
I think what I would do is ask that individual where they see themselves. Would you like to be an expert in a field, or would you like to have more general knowledge? And if the answer is I want to be expert, then the MS degree makes more sense. Your 30 credits are all going to be geared towards one thing. On the other hand, if you really want to be a generalist, you want to see the organization from the top and see how everything works together, then the MBA degree makes more sense. If you're not sure, or if you just want to add a skill to your resume, then the graduate certificate can really be valuable. So it may be that I'm in marketing, but a 4-class or 6-class business analytics certificate could really help me be a better marketer. So I may not want the full MS in business analytics, but boy, that certificate can help me be better at what I'm doing. So it's really a question of both career goals and then where people are at the time they're taking the degree. We love to do the stackable piece. So have someone come in and do the certificate and then say, if that works, you can transfer those credits into an MS and kind of move forward from there. So looking for a place where you can try it out, but ideally you won't to have those credits go away should you decide to do something else, right? So stackability is something that people should look for too.
And these days, universities are allowing to convert this certificate program into a full program as well, right? Wherein you have to earn additional credits
There's a few. Not everyone is offering certificates for graduate credit. You'll see a lot of folks, particularly online, who are offering a certificate, but it's not necessarily for school credit. So one of the things you want to be aware of is, am I actually enrolling in a graduate school, or am I just taking a certificate? And I'm not saying that those don't offer good content. It's just you want to be aware of what it is that you're getting, if this is truly graduate education or something else.
Yeah. Got it. And that is very clear. So we need to understand our career goals and also at what point of career they are and what they are aspiring to do. And that will help them decide which one is apt for them. And now let's switch to the second part of our conversation, which is one of my favorite topics and which I haven't delved deeply in on my podcast yet. I think this might be the very first podcast which I'm doing about the negotiation part. Even that's why I'm a little selfish here. And I would like to understand more and how can I become more confident negotiator?
Well, I think there's one thing that people often forget. When you go into a negotiation, you're there because you have something the other side wants and vice versa. So a lot of times people will say, well, I'm just going to go in and ask for something. And then they call that a negotiation. That's not what it is. If I'm truly negotiating with somebody, I have something they want. They have something I want. And if they didn't perceive me to have something of value, we wouldn't be talking. So when I come in and negotiate a job, for example, if they didn't want to hire me, they wouldn't be talking to me. And so I think that is kind of the first confidence piece that I always remind people of, is if the other side didn't believe that you had something of value, you wouldn't be negotiating.
Yeah, true.
So yeah, that's helpful. The second is really confidence is all about preparation. It's all about knowledge. And so the more that I'm aware, I'm just going to use the salary negotiation example. The more that I'm aware of what people with my qualifications are being paid and what, you know, like what does Glassdoor say? What does salary survey say? What is the information that I have? I can go in and say, you know, based on that research, here's what I believe I should command. And the beautiful thing about that is that it's not, here's what I think I'm worth, which makes it personal, which can make people insecure, but it's here's what the market says I'm worth.
Yeah.
And so at that point, they're not reacting to you. They're reacting to your research. And that's a very empowering place to be as well.
Superb. I think this is a crown jewel of this episode and more to come.
Love it.
And let's move forward. What is empathic negotiation? I think you are specialized in teaching that. And how can I use this empathic negotiation?
Empathic negotiation says it's not about me, it's about us. And in order for me to really come to an agreement with another person, I need to see the agreement from their perspective. So I need to be able to not just think about what I need and what my needs are, but instead really see what coming up to an agreement with me is going to mean to the other party. So if I am, for example, asking a hiring manager for more money, empathic negotiation says that I'm going to try to be conscious of what it means for that hiring manager to have to go ask for more money in their budget, or to have to go ask for me to be paid more maybe than somebody else on their staff. And so when I understand that, I can make better requests. I can preserve the relationship more, essentially by showing the other side that I realize that they've compromised too. Mm-hmm. We're really able to come out of this still friends. And ultimately, you know, when you asked secret to success, I said relationship. Ultimately, I really do believe that it's maintaining those relationships that allows us to implement the deals we make, mm-hmm. but also continue to work with people over time.
Super. I loved it. I think it is about us, not just me. That's the key takeaway. Right. And now absolutely. I have a question more around the relationships. So how can I have a better relationship, not just with my boss, but also with peers and everyone around?
The key ingredient, the secret sauce, if you will, is to truly be interested in them. It's really hard to resist somebody who's really interested in who we are and what we think. And so to the extent that I can develop the true curiosity of trying to know what makes the people around me tick, what they like, what they think about, then that gives me the opportunity to really understand what someone's pressures are and where they're coming from. I don't mean that you have to be, you know, best buddies with everybody that you work with, but to the extent that you show someone that you like them, that you're trying to understand them, and that they can be comfortable with you, that you're a safe space to have a conversation. Essentially, what we're trying to do is make it easy for other people to be with us. I once heard one of our elected officials say that his job was to make other people in the room comfortable. Mm-hmm, yeah. And I said, well, wait a minute, you know, does that mean you have to agree with them? He said, no. If we're going to have a good argument, then that's fine. They just need to feel comfortable enough with me to have a good argument. And so that notion of focusing on the other person and really, that, again, it goes back to the empathy piece, but that genuine interest in others is really the key.
Yeah. So you said we have to be comfortable to be able to argument, right? But many times people refrain from getting to argument, saying that the relationship might get strained.
Exactly.
How do you balance that?
And that tells me that that's not a very strong or safe relationship. I mean, at that point, it's the opportunity is to come in and say, you are a really smart human and I am a really smart human and we are both caring people. And the idea is to then shift rather than in the two of you against each other. It's the two of you against the problem. Yeah. So how can we reconcile this together? How can we continue to work together when we disagree? And instead of it's you versus me, it's let's work together on coming up with a solution that we can both live with.
Super. I loved it. And what an incredible conversation so far. And it's time for us to add some more excitement and some more spice to the episode. So, Carolyn, get ready for the second rapid fire round.
Okay.
Let me fire the first bullet. If you could have one gigantic billboard anywhere with anything on it, what would it say?
Oh, what a great question. My favorite quotation is Maya Angelou, "Forgive yourself for not knowing what you didn't know before you learned it."
Wow. It is one of my favorite quotes. And I've been posting quotes on LinkedIn ever since I joined LinkedIn about 12, 13 years ago. Every day, one quote a day. And I have a huge collection of it. Okay. And this is one of my favorites. And the next one is, what has changed in your life after COVID?
Well, we got a new dog. So we added a furry family member. I think the thing that really has been the most change is that I've been more conscious of getting to know my online students. Mm-hmm. I'm much more careful about making sure other people are okay. And so that real concern of, you know, I check in more. Yeah. And I think that's probably the biggest thing.
Yeah. and commonality, like even we have brought a furry baby. Just now she stepped out. That's why I have to lift my laptop.
I love it.
Okay. And Carolyn, can you describe yourself in just one word?
Positive.
Superb. I can see that. And did you ever have a eureka moment in your life?
I did. My very first boss, and more years ago than I care to count, had a saying that still lives on a paperweight in my office right here. In fact, it's right here.
It says,
conduct yourself so that the people around you will want you to succeed.
Mm-hmm.
And that to me was this moment of, wow, it's about being the kind of person that other people want to champion. That it's about working hard and it's about doing the right thing and it's about caring about other people. And that's what success is, not pushing people aside or, you know, stabbing them in the back or whatever there might be. And that I'm lucky that happened very early in my career because it's very much shaped who I am.
Superb. And I'm trying to intervene a lot of times sharing the coincidence, but I cannot resist here. It's been 3.5 years I started my podcasting journey. And whoever has been contributing to my journey, they are doing just out of their passion, just to make me the champion. That actually, it has flashed just like that, as you say. And I'm really fortunate to have that kind of supportive people around me. And I really want to thank universe and whoever is supporting me. And this is a great reminder. Awesome.
Fabulous. And I'm so glad you got that group. That's wonderful.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm so fortunate. And that brings me to the last question for the rapid fire. What is one electronic gadget or a fantasy gadget that you'd like to see or invent yourself?
I would really like something that captures what is in my brain and turns it into a task. Because I'm feeling like as I get older, I forget so many things. And just being able to have somebody say, oh, you need to do that. And here's when you're going to do it. And just schedule it for me. That would make me so happy.
Good one. I loved it. And that was such a great rapid fire. Let's flip back to the mainstream. And here comes the last question, one of my favorites. Yes. And here it is more about women being ineffective negotiators. Do you think it is true?
I do. It's interesting. There was a myth, for lack of a better word, for years that women did not negotiate or did not initiate negotiation. And thank goodness, the recent research tells us that that's really not true. But women negotiate for different things. And so what I appreciate the most about a traditionally feminine approach, if you will, to negotiation, not that anybody who identifies as any gender can do this, but it's sort of identified with women, is this idea of I'm really thinking about asking for what I need, not what I think I'm supposed to be asking for. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, oh, I'm supposed to be asking for money, or I'm supposed to be asking for title. And instead, you know, that feminine style of negotiation says, I'm going to ask for the flexibility to do what I need to do. I'm going to ask for the support and the resources to do the tasks that have been assigned to me. And so it's still negotiating to make your career better, but it's looking beyond the obvious. And that kind of expanded bargaining mix, expanded, you know, thought about what we can do to resolve the issue is really something that I believe in strongly.
Super. Hats off. I loved every bit of our conversation.
And back at you, me too.
How is your experience being hosted on The Guiding Voice?
This is fun. I love the rapid fire. It truly warms you up. And I feel like you're able to get to the heart of what I really believe very quickly. And that's hard to do. Thank you.
In fact, I don't know, for some reason, a lot of commonality and a lot of things which I can resonate with you. And it really happens, right? So I'm
super
glad.
Me too.
All right. So thank you so much, Carolyn, for joining me today and sharing amazing insights with the TGV community. And looking forward to invite you again on my show in future. And thank you again for your time and all the insights.
Thank you for having me. It's really an honor. Thank you.
Yeah. All right. So friends, that was our episode with Carolyn Gurner. And before we jump into the fun trivia section, we have a quick request. If you haven't already subscribed to The Guiding Voice podcast, please subscribe from wherever you have tuned in, because subscribing keeps you updated on new episodes. Also, if you have enjoyed this conversation and found it useful, please share with at least three of your friends or colleagues who would also like The Guiding Voice. So spread the knowledge and help others grow just like you. It helps us create more content for you and our community. And let's learn together on this journey. Now, let's hop into the trivia segment of today's episode. Today, we had amazing nuggets of wisdom from Caroline on negotiation. I thought I would present you a few more facts which complement Caroline has already covered. The first one is about the role of mirroring. Mirroring is a subtle but powerful negotiation technique. When one party in a negotiation mirrors the body language, speech patterns, or even the tone of the other party, it can build rapport and also trust. The subtle mimicry often leads to more favorable outcomes. Second one is negotiation fatigue. Negotiating can be mentally exhausting at times, and decision fatigue sets in during prolonged negotiations, leading to suboptimal choices. So being aware of this phenomena can help negotiators better manage their mental resources. So be aware, don't get into this fatigue, or else you might end up taking some hasty decisions. And third one is about the reciprocity principle. Reciprocity is a psychological principle stating that when one party does something for another, it creates a sense of obligation to reciprocate. In negotiation, offering concessions or favors can lead to the other party making significant concessions in return. And understanding this principle can also be a valuable tool in negotiations. So that's it from my side. From the negotiation perspective, if you have any better tips, feel free to share them through social media, or you can also comment it if you are watching this episode on YouTube. And friends, thank you so much for tuning in and also for being part of our awesome TGV community. And we would love to hear from you. So do not hesitate to share your ideas, feedback, topic recommendations, and also guest speaker suggestions either through social media, or also you can email us at theguidingvoiceforyou@gmail.com. And let's create content that resonates with you. I'm your host, Navin Samala, a lifelong learner. And my goal is to have impactful conversations that improve not only your life, but also your career. So stay connected as we journey together. And until next time, take care. Stay inspired. Remember, the future holds great things because the best is yet to come. Goodbye for now. See you all in the next episode with another amazing guest.